You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and this is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 488 of the Columbia Calling podcast. This week's episode, we lighten it up as requested, and we speak to Bruce McLean, one of our sponsors of BNB Columbia Travel. So, of course, it's a travel-related episode. We're talking about the new country brand or image, the new video, and, of course, the new slogan out, how to promote Colombia, and, of course, how his business is doing, how tourism is faring right now. Let's just say that international tourism is faring right now in Colombia. So it's actually a really nice back and forth, you know, shared experiences, of course, me with my businesses in Mompós and him based there in Viterbo. I believe that's Caldas in the coffee zone, and how it's all going, who are his main clients, what are they asking for, new destinations, and so on. So a nice episode about travel, upbeat, of course, timely with Colombia launching their new country brand in Times Square. That's right, up there in New York. I think it's going to be one of those huge dot matrix screens. And then in October, I think it's around October the 10th, the brand is launched up there in Toronto as well. So quite exciting. And I think probably before long, that will be in London too. Could you imagine if they put it in Piccadilly Circus up there by the, you know, the famed Coca-Cola sign over the, looking the Eros in Piccadilly Circus? A couple of administrative notes. I've had emails for the last episode. Last two episodes. So I got an email from a listener about our episode on capturing the traffickers, on people traffickers. So that was 486. One sort of criticizing that we should not be mentioning nor promoting the film. And I didn't feel it was a promotion of the film. I think that we just had to talk about it because, of course, it's out. And it's out there. You can't really get away from that fact. It's out in the public forum. I don't think it was really a promotion of it. I think it was a mention of it more than a promotion. But, you know, by the other opposite side of things, I had messages from another person saying we should all see the film and we should get out there and see it. So there you go. You have both sides on that one. And then about the Mennonite community. So that's episode 487 last week, about the huge Mennonite community. Perhaps we should make a clarification that, of course, the piece of land that they inhabit is not the size of Netherlands. That was brought to my attention. What was meant to be said is that all of the different pieces of land in, I think, South America measure up to the size of Netherlands. So, of course, it doesn't seem as quite as spectacular. However, it wasn't really about that. What the episode was about, and I think you'll agree, was about the issue of land reform and the environmental damage being done. I think that's wherein lay our reasons behind the episode. No persecution, nothing religious. It was about people coming in the name of progress and probably over time creating a greater environmental disaster in a place that's so very delicate. And in the last week, there have been more reports coming out of Meta of confrontations between the Mennonite community and the traditional communities of the local indigenous people, and the authorities have had to be involved, and there have been aggressive standoffs. So it's, you know, again, a timely episode about an issue taking place, an agrarian reform, an agricultural reform, and rights to the land in Colombia are, well, if not the most important, but certainly the underlying issue of the conflict in the country. Amongst many other things, of course, there are other issues in the equation, but land reform and land rights and people's rights on the land or to the land are the issues here. So that's wherein lay the topic and, of course, the subject of that episode. So thank you again, those of you who listened. Thank you to those of you who wrote in, of course, bringing stuff to our attention. But I don't think there's any retractions or anything else that needs to be made there. I think we raise issues that have been investigated by the best people in their fields. So this week, anyway, it's a travel-related episode, so we're bouncing around the country vicariously through the travel agency of bnbcolombia.com, BNB Colombia Tours, with Bruce McLean, originally from New Zealand, but of course now here, a longtime resident, married to a Colombian company, selling to foreigners, largely in the United States. So do check out their website, bnbcolombia.com. Support our supporters. And if you want to support us on the Colombia Calling podcast, that's www.patreon.com/Colombia Calling. And you can throw a little tip to us there. You know, it's like a little tip at the end of the month and helps us maintain, you know, some sort of economic viability. So thank you again for listening. Check out the website, www.columbiacalling.co. We are on Twitter, of course, and Facebook and everywhere else. So thank you again. Over to Emily with the news. The Colombia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Colombia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling website, that's www.columbiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.
I'm Emily Hart, and these are your top stories for the week of September 25th, 2023. The largest FARC dissident group, the Estado Mayor Central, have announced the suspension of all offensive operations against military and police in Colombia. They added in their communique, however, that they reserve the right to legitimate self-defense. They also announced regret over the deaths of two people in an explosion in Timba in the department of Cauca this week, calling it an error of military imprecision. Peace talks will reportedly begin in Catatumbo on October 8th, on which date a 10-month official bilateral ceasefire with the government will begin. Meanwhile, a Reuters exclusive this week has revealed that 40% of the nearly 6,000 members of the ELN, the other guerrilla group with whom the government is in peace talks, are in fact likely to reject a potential peace deal. Likely barriers to consensus around a deal are the profits made from trafficking and illegal mining, which many would be unwilling to give up. Additionally, a lack of unity in the organization. Some even fear a fracturing and the appearance of dissident groups, as happened with the FARC around the 2016 peace deal. In historical justice news, 10 former members of the FARC's Joint Central Command have acknowledged their responsibility for kidnapping in front of the Special Peace Tribunal, the HEP. Kidnapping was a central part of the FARC's activity, usually carried out for extortive and profit-making purposes. It resulted in the death and prolonged captivity of thousands of Colombians. The HEP's indictment of these 10 men is the first of 7 regional indictments handed down by the court for this crime in Macro Case 1. The men could pay sentences of up to 8 years restoration to victims and restriction of liberty, but not imprisonment due to terms negotiated in the 2016 peace deal with the FARC, in which the HEP court was established. In relation to another HEP case about extrajudicial executions, a scandal known in Colombia as false positives, the court came under public criticism from former President Álvaro Uribe, during whose mandate the huge majority of these murders took place. A group of military personnel and state agents accepted having killed 296 civilians in order to present them as combat casualties in the department of Casanare. The men claimed that they were obliged to meet quotas of combat casualties while serving in the army, as well as being urged to keep silent around crimes committed. Uribe said in a video he released online that the design of the court encourages recognition even of crimes not committed, as well as making it easier to present as innocent those who were in fact committing crimes. He defended his record and military strategy during the civil conflict. More than one-third of Colombians, nearly 19 million people, live in poverty, though monetary poverty in Colombia fell by 3% last year, according to the National Statistics Agency. This means around 1.5 million were lifted out of poverty in 2022. Monetary poverty is defined on the basis of the amount of money a person needs per month to acquire basic food, services, and other minimum goods for living, estimated in Colombia at 400,000 pesos, which is around $100. Extreme poverty, meanwhile, has grown 0.1%, representing those who earn less than 200,000 pesos a month, which is under $50. The Gini coefficient, which measures economic inequality, fell by just over 1%. Colombian authorities have charged football bosses with limiting competition in the women's league, creating poor working conditions for the players. The Colombian Football Federation and DIMAYOR, the Premier League in Colombia, as well as 29 teams and 7 individuals, are accused of creating precarious conditions for female players and refusing to receive government aid in order to avoid being audited. Employers in the Colombian Professional Football League allegedly agreed to maintain remuneration close to the minimum wage and keep contracts to between 1 and 4 months, and only once a year. Many of the players have needed other jobs to support themselves while they were in training. These are agreements which did not apply to the men's leagues. In the 2023 World Cup, the national women's team placed among the 8 best in the world. In the 2022 World Cup, the men's team did not qualify. A spat between President Gustavo Petro and the U.S. government this week, as he announced from New York that U.S. officials had proposed that he build a wall on the Colombia-Panama border to contain migrants passing through the Darien Gap. The Darien Gap is one of the most dangerous border crossings in the world. This year alone, more than 320,000 people have crossed it. Days later, the U.S. government denied any proposal or request that Colombia build a physical barrier of any sort. And Colombian artists have led the nominations for this year's Latin Grammys, with Camilo, Karol G, and Shakira with 7 nominations each, and Fade with a further 5. Those were your headlines for this week. Thanks for listening.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling, episode 488, and I'm here with Bruce McLean of BNB Colombia Tours. You'll remember him from episode 453. And of course, he's the main sponsor of the Colombia Calling podcast, or at least one of them, him and his company. He is in, are you in Pereira or are you in Viterbo?
Viterbo.
Viterbo in the coffee zone. So welcome back on the show, Bruce. Listen, this is a travel-related show. Let's chat all about travel. How is the business faring at the moment as of mid-September, late September 2023?
Well, Great to talk to you again, Richard. And yes, it is good. Thank you. Mid-September, late September, it's going well. We're very busy. We're getting more and more inquiries for the end of this year. Those last-minute things as well that everybody puts off just in case. It's crazy. I'm looking for more. Look, shout out. I'm looking for more people again. some of your listeners have a very good knowledge of Colombia, interested in working in tourism, let me know. Definitely need some more people.
Would you accept remote workers, people overseas with a good connection?
If they have a good connection or good knowledge of Colombia, absolutely.
Oh, there you go. You heard absolutely. It here first. Get in touch with bnbcolombia.com. If you fancy working, you could be a location independent professional. There you go.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. So how many people do you have working for you now?
Only the 9, actually, at the moment. I say only the 9. We got up to 11 and then 2 left, and now it's like, I feel like, seriously, I feel like I need 16 or 18 at this point in time. We're just growing in so many different departments. That's the struggle. The struggle isn't finding the travelers who want to come to Colombia. Everybody wants to come to Colombia. We share with them what we're doing. They just love it. They want to do this and that. They can't do everything in one hit. It's just being able to find that perfect experience for them for their 2-3 week trip that they're going to take this time.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, Colombia is such a diverse and varied place to come and visit, and too many things. I think I've mentioned it before on this podcast. It's kind of the Achilles heel of Colombia. It's too much. But that you want to grow to about 16 employees. The first time we talked many, many years ago, I think it was just you. So this fills me with joy, the growth that has been experienced there. And of course, you must take some time, sit back, and also you have to celebrate this too.
Yes, I haven't got the time yet to sit back and celebrate. Not until I get up there. I think, yeah, the end goal will be a lot more than 16. It'll be in the 20s, I'm thinking, possibly up to 30. But at this stage, just with what we're doing, I'll be comfortable with 16 at this point. I just don't have, you know, sleep is a luxury at this point in time. Just with having people coming from all over the world, you know, you've got to be available to talk to them at the time that they're available.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's the service industry. And of course, bringing the service industry or opening the service industry here in Colombia is challenging as well. And of course, bringing people from overseas, well, we're perfectly kind of located, of course, for the US market. But you are from New Zealand. I'm sure you're reaching out to people in Australia and New Zealand. And then, of course, being so, you know, your website so obviously visible in English, you've got, I imagine, English and European clients as well. So this does make it a little bit more difficult.
It does, a little bit, yeah. But generally, most of our travelers are still from the US,
yeah,
easily, because it's generally, for a lot of people, it's just one flight they're here. You know, maybe two within 10 hours, they're relaxing on a beach. You know, that's sort of how it is for the people from the US. UK, you know, there's a lot more planning involved. But the people from the US, they might just come for 7-10 days. But the people from Europe or elsewhere, it's a minimum of 2 weeks, if not 3, closer to 4 weeks sometimes. Because it's such a long journey for them, you know.
Yeah.
They might do a layover and might take them 18 hours or something to get here, possibly sometimes.
It's a long way. I mean, it's still a long way. And, you know, if you look at the UK, the one direct flight is the Avianca flight. And then if you think of that return flight back to the UK, that it's every single time it's late because it's a flight that comes down and has to connect. Well, not connect. The people from Central America connecting to go up to the UK are always late. And so that's why it says it leaves at midnight, but you always leave around 2 or 3 in the morning. And it just makes life a little bit more miserable on that stuff. But that's enough about that. The connectivity for the US obviously is perfect. For elsewhere, you know, there are challenges. But KLM, Lufthansa, we've got obviously Avianca, Iberia. What other direct flights from Europe do we have? Oh, Turkish.
Well, to Cartagena, you can actually get a direct flight from Madrid, from Zurich, and from Amsterdam, as well as the US.
Wow.
Exactly. So there are a few options, but still, you know, as I was saying, easily come from the US, where there's Miami, there's Florida, or there's Miami, Florida, New York, or there's direct from Toronto as well.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We get a lot, and we're growing. That's the thing. It's almost like it doesn't matter. The flights are sort of becoming unimportant at this point in time with some people. But you're right. You know, I can see we've got Istanbul, Barcelona, Madrid. There's so many. Zurich, Frankfurt, Paris. There's some long flights there.
So hang on, but what do you put this down to, this growth? How do you, I mean, obviously Colombia has so much to offer, but what do you as a travel expert, travel industry expert, put this growth in Colombia down to?
I think it's kind of like the word getting out more than anything. It's just built. You know, there was that really evil person many years ago, Pablo, what's his name? Oh, yeah. And he unfortunately put Colombia on the map for the wrong reasons, but he put Colombia on the map. And after him, you know, the backpackers, and then those backpackers have grown up and they've told other people, and then it's just grown and grown, and every more and more people have just hearing about how amazing everything is here, the wildlife, the history, you know, stuff that's thousands of years old, you know, going on safaris. Like, we sent people to Casanare and they saw anacondas mating. And this is like something extremely rare to see anacondas anyway. And then you see them mating. It's like, it's crazy what you can do and see here.
You got them to write that explicit review on TripAdvisor.
No, they did. They did put a photo up. And one of them got like within seriously 1 or 2 meters, or a couple of meters, because, you know, obviously they're occupied. The anacondas weren't doing anything. They're going to attack. So, you know, but she got right up close. And I'm like, I don't know if I would have, but it's, we don't do those behind the velvet rope kind of tours.
Behind the velvet rope, my word. So I would say that's a really interesting perspective. It's a sustainable platform of long-term growth, then, is what we put down. The Pablo guy put us on the map for all the wrong reasons, and ever since then, hopefully, we've been correcting this to build on, let's say, the nature, the people, the destinations. And what kind of place? I mean, you looking at a website, you sell over 300 private tours. Of course, I would say less day tours, because, you know, distances are great. There's too much to do here. People need to take time. I do obviously promote slow travel a bit more, you know, take some time, absorb and assimilate to your destination. But what are your biggest selling trips?
That's a tricky one. It's just because we have such a variety of different people that come here. We get most of our travelers are over 50. That's easy.
Okay.
People over 50 traveling, whether they be, we get a lot of singles, we get couples, groups, or families, you know, families of all ages. I don't know if you can hear that. There's a car just came. this is one of those things about Colombia. There's never a dull moment. There's music everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Look, it's tricky to go and say. We get a lot of retirees come here because they can come any time of the year. We get those families who are coming, obviously, during school vacations. I used to feel like we had two high seasons. Now we have four, I think. It just seems like December to January is sort of a high season. Then we've got March into April and July into August. So three. But it's we get them all. We get people who just want that adventure and to go hiking into Guaviare. We send a number of people to Guaviare for the 12,000-year-old rock paintings, hiking there, swimming with pink dolphins. They see all the monkeys and, you know, wildlife as well there. A few people have gone, you know, the giant anteaters, small anteaters, that sort of stuff there. Up and often we get people who go there, and then they actually go to Casanare, which is a much slower paced experience with a lot more wildlife. You know, with the capybaras, wild deer, wild horses, the anacondas, as I've mentioned, the small anteaters, giant anteaters, there's so much wildlife, so many birds. It's amazing what they can find there. All the people who care about the history and want to understand, you know, we'll see the tombs that are, you know, thousands of years old in San Agustine as well. It's amazing. Or, you know, it's just so much beauty in the nature here as well. It's crazy. All the indigenous, we do a number of different indigenous experiences now up around Santa Marta with the Kogi and Waiju and Wewa. It's all crazy. It's unbelievable how much there is here and the variety of people that we get here to do this. We've a number of people coming on honeymoons as well. You know, obviously so many people want to go to Cartagena. They got a honeymoon. Cartagena's got to be on the list, but it's also combine that with something else because Cartagena isn't like a nature destination so much, more of the culture and history, which is still amazing. Walking around the historic center, you know, 8-9 o'clock at night, it's just beautiful. It's amazing.
And I did notice when you've got different things up there on the Caribbean coast, and you do have like an extension into Nueva Venecia, so the homes on stilts over the Cienega there.
Exactly. New Venice, that's the place. So exactly similar to Venice in the way that it's on water. Okay. It's a, you know, there's a town there, or a couple of towns actually, that have got about a population of around 2,000 people. So you go out on a boat and, you know, go around these houses, and it's quite just something special and unique as in itself. You go past the school and see the school, the playground that obviously floods every day. It's, you know, it's something unique. It's just something else about Colombia. Yeah. You don't find this anywhere else. Well, I mean, other than Italy, but that's, it's different sort of culture.
But it's interesting because I haven't seen many people offering that at all. And that to me was very interesting when I was checking it out. Nueva Venecia, is that what Cienega is that located on? Because it's all fishermen, right? They're all fishermen.
It is.
What is the big lake? I remember what it's called.
Gee, if I recall correctly, Cienega Grande is what I want to say, but I don't think it is that name. It's the one that's, you know, it goes around Barranquilla as well. It's the big, I'd have to double check that. I know where it is. I just don't know the name of it.
And so,
no, it's just Cienega. Cienega.
Yeah, Cienega. Cienega. So it's right next to the town of Cienega as well, which
exactly.
Itself is interesting with the Republican architecture in there. And of course, the story that Gabriel Garcia Marquez used to sell books in the main plaza of Cienega, wandering around as a book salesman before he became a journalist and so on. I mean, there are things there. And of course, there is also the statue? Is it the escaped slave Benjio Bocchio?
That's in San Basilio de Palenque, is it not?
Yeah, but there's another one in Cienega, which I don't know who it is, or maybe to the banana workers, because of the massacre. I think it's the banana workers because of the banana.
Ah, yeah. Fruit because of that. Like that.
And of course, that
it is Cienega Grande.
Oh, there you go. It's so creative.
Very creative. Very creative.
But no way of getting that wrong. But I like the fact that you're offering that, and people are going in a motorized canoe and they go out past the towns and so on. So very much evoking amphibious culture, I would say, amphibious culture in these areas, and giving them something else. And so how do you feel then that in tourism terms, that the service industry, that the hotels, it's definitely improving? Because I know we've mentioned this before, it did lag behind, let's say, obviously places that have had decades more experience. Not you know, we have to include obviously Mexico in that. You have to include Peru as or Costa Rica as people that we're looking around in the region. But do you feel that we're pulling closer?
Absolutely, I do. I think Costa Rica, as far as nature, especially talking to some of our awesome guides, because we've got so many different locations, and our Costa Rica is kind of like somewhere where nature-wise is what we want to aim for, how much wildlife that they have accessible to tourism. It's definitely an amazing destination. But we're definitely getting closer. I mean, like, look, some of the places, seriously, I think we're above everywhere else. And some, you know, just because of the destination, what it has already. And the service, the level of service of our guides, it's that high. They know what our travellers expect, and they give it at a higher level than that. They're just amazing, our guides. I can't speak highly enough of them. You know, they make any bad situation a good one. If it's raining, doesn't matter. They'll fix it. You know, they'll stop it. They'll do something. They'll fix it. Just stop it. Yeah, absolutely.
But more about like the infrastructure in Colombia, hotels, transport roads, etc. How do we feel that that's continuing?
Okay, in that case, hotels, I think in the smaller towns are definitely getting better as well. Like where I live in Viterbo, I wouldn't say I've been applying pressure, but I've been asking often, can you get hot water? Can you get hot water? You know, our travellers like to have a shower of hot water. Even though, you know, this is where I live, it's hot. I don't have hot water in my house. There's no need for it. I look forward to getting in that shower. It's like getting into a swimming pool, sort of that sort of temperature. It's not like cold, but I know a lot of people enjoy a hot shower, and if you're not used to it. But, you know, so we're finally getting hot water in the hotel that I send people to, so I'm happy about that. But I think in general, it's all improving accommodation-wise. There's still those remote areas where it's still more rustic, but that's part of the charm for me. That's what makes something more exciting, like, you know, going into the Amazon and sleeping in a treehouse. You can't really expect hot water up there, you know? But it's the experience. Or if you want to sleep in a hammock in the Amazon jungle, you know, you can expect some running water close by, but, you know, won't be hot water. As far as roads go, it's a touchy subject for me. I find that we fly people in a lot of places. A lot of places I would rather drive people, because it should be, you know, like a 3-4 hour drive sort of thing. But in situations where the roads just aren't getting repaired quick enough, it might take 8-10 hours. So we fly people places, which I'm not happy with, because I'm big on trying to keep the carbon footprint down. But we have to get people to certain places, and the best way in some situations is to fly. But that's okay. We we're carbon neutral now, so I'm happy about that as well. Very excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reality, isn't it? As soon as things are improved in terms of infrastructure, then we can put things on the ground. But if these things are still very much in their infancy and not being repaired and not being invested, and you know, what can you do? People only have a certain amount of time. I genuinely believe in that we should reduce our environmental footprint and be carbon neutral, but there are realities there. So when did you get certified as carbon neutral?
Just recently, actually, only about 3 months ago. I've been looking at it for a while. Thank you. But I think it would have been about 3 months ago. Yeah, I've been looking at it for a while and finally found a company which I absolutely love. Called Stand for Trees. So there's different ways of being carbon neutral, in the way that you can support different communities or organizations that have different points of view, in the way of what's the best way to go ahead, in the way of whether it be replanting forests or stopping the deforestation. My personal views, I would rather try to stop the deforestation, because I want those animals and mammals and everything to still live there and not to die. You know, I'm not a full-on hippie, but I do like animals, you know, and I like them to be able to stay and live in their environment. And I don't want their forest to get cut down, and for whether it be for whatever reason, whether they want to do some mining there or timber or whatever, you know. So what we're doing is supporting a community in the Amazon. Nice. And we're helping them by giving them cash, obviously, and investing in them to understand how to do more environmental friendly farming. So no more, not the slash and burn sort of thing, where they can actually still make money and they don't need to get into other illegal activities or other activities that might be harmful for the government, as well for the government, harmful for the environment. That's what we're looking at the moment. Yeah.
I think that's so important, and it, well, therefore it provides, you know, as we say in Spanish, it's a vida digna, just like a dignified life and existence, where it, because people in the Amazon are very much of the Amazon and of the forest and what they live in. And so therefore, you know, let's protect that and let's help them protect that rather than being forced by, I would say, sort of market pressure to slash and burn to then produce something else. For example, I would say sort of palm oil or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Soya, I guess, is a big deal in Guaviare.
Soya is a big thing.
And so on. So, you know, these things are important. And of course, it is in the Colombian Amazon that you're supporting.
Unfortunately, no. Well, it's not that I've got anything against that. It's just that I found the company that I wanted to work with.
Yeah.
And that for me was important, to find somebody that I trust that I'm giving them, we're giving them money, and I want to trust that it's going to actually help people. And with these people, there was only one project in Colombia that was had just finished operating, so they're waiting to expand it. And once they expand it, then we'll be supporting that company or that community, which is in Chaco. But this one is in Brazil, so it's still part of the Amazon jungle. It's right next to where we actually send our travelers. So I feel that I'm investing in our personal traveler's experience as well.
I should be worried. The Amazon is the Amazon. Frontiers are obviously in the Amazon are fluid. And so you're putting your money into the Amazon, and it's all one big thing. And I tell you, Brazil requires what you are doing. So no real problems with me there and that one. So let's move on a little bit. When we saw one another, it was episode 453 early in the year at the Travel Mart here in Bogota. We had we were hosted by the, what would we call them? The Valpes, was it Valpes or Vichada? Valpes, I think. Valpes, Sofia Vergara, you called her.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I do remember. I still have some of that chili on my table.
I use it. It's actually.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So she gave us some of that, and we talked about trips out there and so on. But what this is a segue into is, you know, we always talk about country branding, and Colombia tends to be pretty, how would I put this? Pretty active in country branding. Some I don't agree with. Others I do agree with. I think some are very creative. I think some are not so much. When they came out with Colombia es sabrosura, I just thought, well, how do you translate that to, you know, and then Colombia ritmo, well, okay, Colombia's rhythm is okay. Colombia, the only risk is wanting to stay. I actually quite liked for the danger play on words, but I'm glad it was a short-lived one. So now we've got La Belleza es Colombia. And so the translation is the country of beauty. How do you feel about this one? You know, is this going to help you, do you think, in a marketing branding for Colombia?
Well, I've seen the video and I love the video. The
video is great.
The video is, it's one of the best for a while. I love it. As far as the, I think Colombia is beauty. Yeah. It just simply is. It's hard for me to see anything ugly here, realistically. You know, I wake up, I have fantastic view from my house. You know, I'm in a valley, so I've got wonderful nature around me. I come into my office, which is 15 minutes away in the town. You know, it's a small town of 12,000 people, and you know, I'll see coffee growing, you know, drying on the street, and I find it. It's just so. It is beauty. Colombia just simply is.
There's a simplicity to it that I like.
You know, they're yes.
trying to overcomplicate, and you know, obviously beauty covers so many different facets to life here. But I like that. Obviously, it focuses really on the nature. which for me is key, isn't it?
It is. We're almost finding that we're getting more of our travellers more interested in the nature now than before. Before it was, you know, the wonderful towns, the cultural towns, the coffee zones, the colourful buildings, the architecture, you know, riding in a Willis Jeep or a Shiva. You know, this is the culture that you don't necessarily see anywhere else. Well, you see a Shiva elsewhere in Mexico, I believe they have them. But, you know, that sort of thing. But now it's more people who really want to see that wildlife, those, you know, thousands of birds that we have here. You know, we've actually just started recently doing a night hike in the coffee zone as well. And I went for this. I just absolutely loved it. It's not for everybody because it's a little bit physically demanding in the way that you're climbing over trees that have fallen down and, you know, it's a few slippery rocks there and there. But it's so cool because you're going through, it's pitch black, but you got your lantern on your head and you're searching for insects and spiders and you know, there's tarantulas that are, you know, these blue ones, blue tarantula. But we've got them there, blue ones and big normal tarantulas, and you see all these other giant insects and, you know, frogs. Frogs are just amazing here. The variety, it's something awesome. I love it. You know, the nature here is just spectacular, and it's just opening up a whole new side for me. It opened up that I didn't realize we could do this in the coffee zone. I'm like, well, you know, I know we've got frogs, but I didn't know, you know, these tiny ones that are like a centimeter size is, you know, what are they called?
The poison dart.
Glass frog. Glass. No. Oh, there are poisonous ones as well. Yeah, there are a few, but they're mainly in Chaco, in that area. But there are around the coffee zone as well. We could actually, we're thinking about doing a tour to that for them as well. But you could, but these ones are glass, sorry, as in, you know, ching ching on a ching ching. Yeah. And when you drinking a something, but that's the noise. Sorry, I was saying that's the noise they make. And you're listening for this ting ting like they're tapping a glass. I can't hear that on the mic, but yeah, that's I understand what you're trying to do. But yeah, that's the noise that they make, and that's what you're looking for. And you're looking for a tree glass frog, and you're looking around, and then when you're with the guide, and they finally, you know, point it out to you, and it's like something the size of your fingernail, and you're like, "How? I never would have seen that."
Yeah,
exactly. It's crazy.
And are these all? I mean, because if we think of the poison dart ones and the Choco, incredibly colourful. I think the more colourful, the more dangerous. But these ones in the coffee zone, I've never heard of them before.
They are cool. Like it's just amazing the different varieties of frogs that are here. You know, it's not. I hadn't thought of, okay, well, maybe we start a frogging tour. But it's, you know, it's. I'm not the person to think. I'm not the first person to think about this. There are other people. Who actually do, you know, tours looking for frogs that are, you know, everywhere. And now I'm like, well, I can do this at my house. You know, we get white frogs, you know, there's white ones and green ones and, you know, toads and everything. It's just really cool. I love it.
That's cool. Yeah. There must be enthusiasts for amphibians. And I think, aren't we one of the top countries for amphibians? They're always finding new ones. I think we are one of the top countries for amphibians.
I believe.
Yeah.
We're usually the top. In the top two or three of everything.
Mega diverse, obviously. We know that birds, you know, amongst the top, for amphibians as well. I'm sure insects for, you know, again, you don't get the big five. It's not Africa, but it's very different and special equally. So I think, you know, we like this and we like the nature. And I think that for me is what we should be promoting for Colombia, because, of course, it does trickle down to the communities. They are the ones... they do benefit. And of course, outfits like yourselves using local guides and so on, and ensuring local accommodation and eating in local restaurants. And that will allow us, of course, to continue with La Belleza es Colombia. And big news, the Country of Beauty will be launching that campaign, that country brand in Times Square. I believe it's this week, Times Square. So that means one of those huge billboards. You know, just that's huge. That's a massive deal. If you can think Yeah, if we think 40 years ago, what would you be putting on Times Square about Colombia in the 1980s? And now today, that video, I suppose, will be on Times Square. It gives me like a shiver of joy.
I know. You get the goosebumps. It's exciting. It is. And I'm just like, okay, there's going to be more and more people. Everybody, and it's for me, it's just like, I want everybody to know about Colombia because I want everybody to know how amazing it is. And this is just another thing. They're investing so much, and I think they're going to do Toronto another month later. But it's just, it's just amazing, this country. And the more people who know about it, the better, as far as I'm concerned, because it's just so much. I don't know how to love that you can have when you're here. You fall in love with the country. You fall in love with the people, the history. They're just so nice. It's just, you can't knock it.
So hang on. Toronto in October. You know who you are, my listeners in Toronto. I'll name you Mark, who is like super fan, who writes to me all the time, and I appreciate it immensely. In fact, he sent me birthday wishes, which is phenomenally, it made me very happy. But you are in Toronto, Mark. Check out, you know, tell us what it looks like. If you see this big billboard or whatever they put up, I'm sure it'll be around place. I can't remember what they're called. Is it Bloom Street around there? It must be around that area. Bloor, that area. That's the sort of center area. I'm sure that's where it will be. Toronto. Take a photo, share it with us. So we can share it out as well where it comes up in Toronto. And we go from Travel Mart to Travel Mart. You're going to be in Medellin this coming week promoting Colombia. Are you getting lots of international buyers coming down?
Yes. I go there. I'm flying on Tuesday there. I'll be there until Saturday, I think. We've got meetings full Tuesday, full Wednesday, full Wednesday day and full Thursday, just full of meetings. I think I've got like 17 or 18 different international meetings there, mostly from the US. I think it's just US and UK that I'm meeting this time. But I'm going there. I wanted to spend a little extra day.
And it's nature.
Sorry.
And it's nature.
It's nature. It's a nature travel night.
Which is
it? That's the focus. That's the focus. But everybody who comes here who wants nature, they're also going to be exploring and enjoying the culture as well. You can't have one without the other here.
No, you've got to get to a city. You've got to get through some, one of the major hubs. You'll have to get through it. You can't avoid them. Bogota, Cartagena, Medellin, Cali. Santa Marta as well is a great gateway to all of that nature up there. Minca, which is spectacular. That's grown immensely. I haven't been in years. Have you been recently to Minca?
No, actually, I haven't. I haven't. We're sending people there quite often, but no. We do have an awesome coffee and cacao tour there. I know, sorry, little plug for that cacao tour. I especially love that because it's a chocolate exfoliation. So they cover their face in chocolate. So it's a real cleansing thing. We've also got one in Medellin as well, but it's a full body chocolate exfoliation. So it's a different sort of experience. But we like chocolate.
You've had the exfoliation yourself because you've got to try.
You've
got to try all the products.
You got to. It's one of those things. Was I glowing? I felt the glow. I did feel it. I don't know if anybody else noticed. More of a probably inner feeling. But it's nice. It's, it's fun. That's the thing. It's all it is. Not all it is. It's good for you. I'm sure there's a lot of vitamins and stuff that went into my skin, and it was very good.
There you go. It took the years off you.
Yes, that Brad Pitt look, as we were talking about earlier.
As I said, I've turned 47, so I've got the Brad Pitt filter on Zoom to, to soften up the wrinkles on my face. But Bruce over there uses chocolate.
Yeah, it's chocolate. Exactly.
I would like to try the chocolate one, definitely. I think my kids would love it, just again, because it's fun. And I think that's part of Colombia is the joy and the fun. That's what comes through, obviously, with the nature. You talk a lot about sending people down to Casanare, which remains one of my favorite trips that I've done here in Colombia, and how how the what are the cowboys called in Casanare again? They're but how they looked after my son, because only my first son was born at that time, and Caboclo's in Brazil. I can't remember, but you know, hardy people who don't wear shoes and walk around everywhere in a place where there's anacondas and other snakes and so on, and caiman, but they don't wear shoes. But how they looked after my kid with just such, I mean, there really was great affection, and that added to it. There was no issue about asking, can I pick your kid up to put him here or there? It was just so naturally done. And I think travel in Colombia with a family is just one of those things that should be done. I know you're looking
for
the word. Have you found it?
I can't. No. I can llaneros. Llaneros.
What are the llaneros?
No. That's
the people from the llanos.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. I can't find it.
We'll find it at another later date.
Yes.
It's too much. And so, but let's get back to your company again. We're waxing lyrical, and this is kind of like a conscious stream of narrative that we're giving about Colombia. But let's talk about one of your top markets, and it's the plus 50s market. So sort of, let's say you've got your retirees. They have money and they have time. Do they mainly come in groups? Is that what you're doing? Or is it couples or so on?
Mainly couples and group. Mainly couples and friends. Okay, that's what we're pretty much focused on, is our customized packages. Okay. But we are, we're offering group tours also for the over 50s, because there are a lot of solo travelers who, you know, if you're traveling by yourself, you have to pay for the guide, the transport, the accommodation, everything by yourself. It's not the cheapest method. And for those people who still want to have a fantastic time, still want to enjoy and explore, then we've created the shared tours, the group tours for the over 50s. It's I think it's something that it's developing. We've only just started realistically advertising. I know we've had it promoted on your podcast for a while, but we've only actually just started promoting it elsewhere also. And I think it's something that is going to grow. Well, it's already growing. At the end of this year, we're going to be doing a few more. And then next year, I think it's going to be a bit of a boost, a lot more people interested in that. But it's something like a group, like all of them, you can actually purchase privately anyway. You know, so it might be a 10-day or a 20-day group tour, but you can also customize that and purchase it privately yourself. Or you can add something on at the start or add something at the end. You know, we always put in those free days in certain locations. If you're going to three different destinations, then we try to make sure that you get a free day or two in the middle destination, so that, because it's very difficult, obviously, to, you don't want to go backtrack there to go and see something else. So you want to have those free days. But it's something that I like. I like the over 50s market. It's a good market. It's people who share my values, I suppose you could say. You know, nature, culture. It's those people that we love.
I think it's a key market. As you say, they understand, but I think it's a key market, and I think it's a very important, you know, to do plus 50s. I think it's very important indeed. You are able to do a lot of things. You're still able, there's adventure, but, you know, returning to nice places, receiving the right kind of attention. I think it allows you as a travel specialist to give some flair to this kind of voyage, this kind of trip. I think it allows you to say, listen, this is what we need now. Let's not overdo it, but let's not let's undersell either.
Exactly. It is. It's a case of, people over 50, they want a little bit of comfort.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy comfort when I can as well. I don't, obviously, as I mentioned before, I don't have hot water in my shower at home, but that doesn't mean if I go to another place, if there's hot water in that shower and I'm there, I'll use it. A comfortable bed, safe, clean locations, but I still, I understand what the over 50s are looking for. You know, I'm not quite there myself yet, but I know I'll be there soon. You know, I'm 6 months ahead of you, so I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting when you get there. When you arrive, I'll be there. So I'll tell you what it's like. No, but it's something that, you know, I understand the, you know, when I hit 40, it's more or less when you start to get those aches and pains for no reason. You know, the sore knees, the sore back, you didn't stretch quite right, didn't lie down properly when I didn't have the pillow in the right position while I was sleeping, and my neck's just a little bit out for a while, for a few days. It's never like half an hour or anything. You know, I understand those feelings. Yeah. So, you know, we look for those situations where we can avoid that sort of discomfort, I suppose you could say. We understand that, you know, they're not, our market aren't really those people who are going to be going sleeping in tents on the mountains, you know, doing that sort of thing, or downhill mountain bike riding. You know, it's, you know, they might ride a horse in the Casanati or where I'm here, you know, through a river, but it's just a slow walk. They're not galloping and no overnight extensions into jungles, or unless they want that, we can still provide it, but it's not something that we focus.
Well, I'm happy to say that the, you know, I would gladly not bungee and things like that. So
yeah,
I would gladly not do this.
There was, you know, we have a few who actually like whitewater rafting. We've had a number over 50s love whitewater. They love that excitement, just the whitewater rafting. They did, and rappelling. Rappelling down waterfalls. We've got a number who love doing that. We'll watch them do it, and they're bouncing out and stuff. And I mean, it's exciting, but, you know, you're bouncing too far, I'm sure. But no, they're all right.
Well, I think we've done it. I think we've done Columbia a major service in this episode. We haven't bigged her up because we don't need to. Everything is here. And it is a joy to visit Columbia, and it is a very special place. Otherwise, you or I wouldn't be here. And I think that's the greatest testament and the greatest, you know, reason to be able to do a podcast of this nature and to talk about the country in which we live, you know, our adopted homeland, and that we love so much. So, everybody, let's send you to BNB Columbia Tours, right? BNB Columbia Tours. .com, and it's BNB Columbia Tours. You can fill out everything there on the page, what you're looking for, get your inspiration. Your messages come through. I know they get through to Bruce and the team, and it's all very much a personalized you know, service. Anything you want can be found there. Isn't that right, Bruce?
That is indeed, sir.
That's right.
We will be able to help you out 100%.
There we go. So thank you again for your time. Thank you for being so amazingly upbeat and positive, as always. And congratulations on your carbon neutral status and indeed continued growth.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Richard. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Yay. I look forward to your next chat.
Yeah, well, we'll probably chat again in early next year when we're adopted by another, you know, salesperson for an exotic department in Colombia at the travel fair.
Uh-huh.
So we will talk about it at a later date. But thank you very much to Bruce McLean, who's in Viterbo in the coffee zone. Do check out bnbcolombia.com. And of course, be sure to say that you heard about it on Columbia Calling so that I know people are listening. This has been episode 488. We'll be back next week. I believe that Emily Hart has some interviews lined up for next week and beyond. But again, please subscribe, leave a review, and continue to listen. So thank you again, and bye-bye. The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Columbia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling website, that's www.colombiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.